Hello, everyone. This is Chris Gillen from Waxhaw, North Carolina. Just wanted to touch base and kind of give you guys a little bit of a review here on really two products, to be frankly honest with you, both of which from the Apple lineup of products. As most of you guys know, I am a diehard Apple fanatic, and I just figured that I would record this audio boo and, you know, essentially kind of give you guys a bit of a review opinion on my view, at least, of things for two of the newer Apple products. I say newer. One of them is extremely new. The other is new by, well, probably, what, maybe 2 or 3 months. So the first one I'd like to review is the Apple iPhone 5. I've got a couple of things regarding the iPhone.
Pause recording button.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean for that to happen. Pardon me. But I've got a couple of things regarding the iPhone 5 that I would like to kind of mention about here. The first one is to say that, you know, I have a friend who just recently, you know, for a while they were back ordered, and there was like a, I think it was like a 2 or 3 week period wait time, something like that, for the new iPhone 5. And she didn't get hers until just 2 days ago, pardon me, the day before yesterday. And yesterday, when she came to my home for a bit, she obviously she had her iPhone 5 with her, and you know, she let me play with it a little bit with the voiceover turned on and whatnot. And you know, yeah, I mean, okay, here's how I see it. Now, this is just me personally. Now, remember that this is only my opinion. You know, opinions, opinions. What can you say? Me personally, now, keep in mind that I didn't really play with it real extensively. But I did play with it a fair amount. So, first of all, the first thing that I want to say is regarding the new update with LTE support versus the iPhone 4S and whatnot, which was, you know, 3G/4G. First of all, I don't really understand exactly what the hype is about the LTE. Supposedly, it's supposed to be way faster than 3G/4G. Me personally, I found it to be way worse, actually. I was on LTE coverage out here at my home, and I took her phone with voiceover turned on, obviously. And, you know, I don't know if VoiceOver actually slows down LTE. I don't know if maybe VoiceOver just uses so much of the processor power. And that's another thing I want to get at here in a minute, is about the processor. But we'll get to that in a minute. But essentially, I don't know if VoiceOver just slows down the processor, kind of bogs it down that much. I don't think that's the case, but it could be. All I know is that I tried to bring up Safari, and another thing that's worth noting before I go any further with this is that she didn't have any other pages opened in the background in Safari. You know how, like, in Safari, how you can have multiple tabs, you know, multiple pages open at one go? She didn't have any other pages opened. Actually, let me correct myself on that. She had one page already opened, but that one page she had open was just simply a Google search results page. I mean, it's not like it was a really cluttered page or anything like that. It wasn't really anything worth really writing home about. But anyway, I went up to the address bar, double tapped in there, and I put in just hj.com, you know, just bring up the Freedom Scientific website, you know, hj.com or freedomscientific.com, call it as you will. Either way, you'll get to the exact same place. But anyways, I went there and I tried to essentially bring up the Freedom Scientific website. And what I found personally was I found that it really, quite honestly, didn't... it crawled. I mean, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think the website even fully ever loaded. It kind of got to like 82% and then it just kind of sat there and hung and didn't really do anything. As soon as I connected it onto my Wi-Fi network here at my home, however, it flew. I mean, it went very smoothly and came up almost instantaneously. Of course, then again, most websites on whatever internet-enabled platform I go to come up almost instantaneously with my internet connection here at home. So, which is just a standard Time Warner Roadrunner connection, by the way. I'm just using, I'm actually using Roadrunner Turbo. And, yeah, we don't have Signature Home. I wish we did. I did at my old place, but now that I'm living with other people, they don't really, my mother doesn't really want to do that, which... in my humble opinion, I think is rather stupid, especially being that it's cheaper, but whatever. So, I'm not going to argue that fact. Anyway, so that's kind of where we stand as far as LTE goes. You know, like I said, I just know the page kind of sat there, and I kept hearing the little progress bar ticker, you know, just kind of kept ticking off the progress bar, but that, you know, like I say, the page loaded to like 82%, but it never really went any further than that. It just kind of sat there, and I mean, I could certainly flick through what portion content of the page already had been loaded, but I mean, you could definitely tell that the whole page wasn't loaded. And for that, mine didn't seem to be loading either, so yeah, it was pretty annoying. Okay, the second thing. The iPhone 5 is a lot thinner. On that note, I will definitely say I found that very attractive. I found that really nice, that it was not only was it thinner, but the fact that because of it being thinner, it was obviously a lot lighter in weight. The iPhone is probably about, well... I was going to say about the thickness, I don't know. I was going to say it was about the thickness of an iPod Touch 4th generation, but that's not quite correct. It's a little bit thicker than that, but not by much. It is still made out of glass, so be, obviously, if you ever get one, be careful. But... having said that, I mean, there are, you know, OtterBox cases you can get for the thing. There are screen protectors that do fit the new iPhone 5. I mean, you can certainly get them. But, yeah, you know, I definitely did find that it was a bit of a problem in some respects. But in more respects, it wasn't. The reason I say it was kind of a bit of a problem was not so much the weight slash thickness, but more the fact that the iPhone is also a little bit longer. Now, by longer, what I mean by that is, if you go, like, where your home key is, down at the bottom, if you was to trace your finger upward on the screen, so you basically start with your finger, if you was to, like, take your finger on the index, you know, like, your index finger on the home key, and then you was to just basically in a straight 90-degree angle, just run your finger up the screen from the bottom of that phone, front face of the phone, up to where the earpiece would be. Going that way from top to bottom, it's a little bit taller. It's a little bit longer than the iPhone 4 and the 4S, and, well, for that mind, even the 3G. One thing that was a little bit awkward to me, I mean, it wasn't really bad, but, you know, I think that with some time, I could certainly get used to it pretty easily. And I think in the long run, I could even probably even grow to really, really enjoy and appreciate this feature. Is the fact that seeing you've got that more screen real estate, one of the things that's really nice that that allows is the ability, normally in the past you've had on your home screen a maximum per page of a 4x4 grid. So this basically means you would have up to 16 icons. Now whether some of those be folders or not is another question. But the bottom line is you would get 16 icons per page, not including the four icons down in your dock. Now, yeah, I know that you can, I know that you can jailbreak and, you know, resize those icons. Like you could get up to 5 icons in your dock, I think, with the jailbroken app you can get from Cydia, you know, and things like that. But I'm speaking unjailbroken here. I'm speaking just simply the default way natively that things work. You basically had 16 up, well, I should say up to 16 icons per page, not including the 4 that would be down in your dock. Well, with the iPhone 5, it's a little different. With the iPhone 5, you actually have a 4x5 grid. So what I mean by that is you've got 4 icons going across left or right per row. You basically get four going left or right across, but then you also going vertically down, instead of having basically 4 rows of icons, you now have 5 rows plus your 4 down in your dock. So they've added, because of the screen being longer and being taller, you get the ability to have that one extra row of icons, which that was a little awkward to me, just because to get to the topmost row of icons, or for that mind even to reach to the my status bar, like where your battery is and where your clock and your, you know, like signal strength and all that is up at the very, very, very top, I found that that was a little bit more, I don't want to say cumbersome as much as I just want to say it was a little bit awkward. Now keep in mind, mind you, that I only played with this for probably maybe a matter of 20 to 30 minutes. So with that said, I do have to be fair, and I'm gonna be fair in saying that I think with time, I probably could have gotten more the hang of it. I mean, granted, it's not like I wasn't doing it right away. I mean, I was moving around pretty quickly. I mean, I pretty well was holding my own. I was up and running pretty much immediately on the thing. And I really had no trouble with it, per se. It wasn't so much that it was a problem, as much as it not even so much that it was annoying, as much as it was just a little bit awkward, you know? But having said that, I did get the hang of it.
System dialogue.
Sorry about that. One thing I did find was when
desktop audio production selected volume
voiceover, what are you doing? Anyway, one thing I did find is that it was a little bit annoying when it came to the process of typing on the thing. That was a little bit annoying.
Application, system dialogue.
And I don't really know the best way to explain why it was annoying. You do get the touch typing feature as well as the standard typing like you always have. Now, me personally, I, as most of you know, I prefer the standard method of typing where you can either flip to key or key. You can split tap or you can, you know, dead reckon the letter as best you can and then double tap it to, you know. But if you don't like that and you like more the ability to touch type, that is still there. I personally didn't try that out just because I can't stand to touch type if I can help it. But the feature is there. I did see it. I can confirm as a definite that it was there. But the thing I didn't like about typing, as I was trying to say, is I don't know. I found that it was a little bit sluggish. VoiceOver seemed to be a little bit unresponsive when it came to typing, whether that be touching on the keyboard trying to locate a letter, or whether it be flicking from one key to another key. I don't know. I found it to be just a little sluggish. Not real sluggish, but just like maybe, I don't know, just very, it was a very subtle difference, but it was just enough to where I could kind of-ish tell. And this wasn't something where it was all in my head. I definitely did see a bit of a sluggishness. It wasn't major. It was just enough to be, it was just enough to feel a little bit weird. I think with some time and getting used to it, I could probably get to the point where it wouldn't really bother me that much, but it just seemed a little weird. Now remember that I didn't really go into her app switcher, so I didn't really look to see how many apps she already had running, so that could have been bogging the RAM down a little bit. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, and I will say that she's the type of person who, as far as I remember, at least the last I remember, she was very, very bad about closing things out of her app switcher. I mean, back when she had her iPhone 4, before getting the 5, I remember going into her app switcher once. I mean, this lady must have had, like, literally speaking, 50 or so things running at one time in her app switcher. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know how she managed to even keep the thing booted, let alone not be just totally sluggish as all get out. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the bottom line is, it seemed a little sluggish. I found that the speaker on the iPhone 5, the internal speaker, actually was quite significantly good. Now, I didn't play any music or any kind of audio or anything with it. That was one thing I was going to do, and then I got sidetracked and I totally forgot to. I can, if you guys would like, she'll be coming again next Wednesday, and when she does, I'll be happy to try it at that point on her iPhone 5 and see kind of how it sounds. But as far as I know, the speaker sounded, from what I could tell, it sounded like it would be pretty good. I mean, VoiceOver worked really well on it. It was very clear, very understandable. Even with my bit of hearing loss, even for me, it was very, 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 very clear and very easy to understand. Now, that was using the default voice. I didn't try any of the other voices like Karen or Daniel or, you know, Emily or any of those. I just pretty much used what I guess that would be Jill that they use by default. They used to use Samantha, I know, but I think now it's Jill that they use, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, and it sounded, from what I could hear, it actually sounded very, very good. I noticed that if you turn the volume on the iPhone up all the way, then you turn also the VoiceOver volume up all the way in your volume rotor setting, or, you know, however you want to do it, I found that if you put the VoiceOver volume at 100% and you also put the just overall iOS volume at 100%, I found that VoiceOver was a little bit distorted if you did that. I generally had to back off VoiceOver's volume to about 85 to 90%, preferably 85. And I found that by doing that, it actually sounded really good. Am I running out of time on this audio boo? Let me check something.
Publish button. New recording. Time remaining. 10:13.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes left. I think I can manage. So that's pretty much what we've got as far as that's concerned. So that's pretty much it as far as that's concerned. So that's pretty much what I would say about the iPhone 5. It, you know, I didn't really get a chance to Retina screen. I found that was pretty good, actually. It wasn't no iPad by any stretch, but I mean, it certainly, you could definitely tell that it was a full Retina display. I mean, even with the little vision I have, I could certainly tell that the picture looked really good. Now, I didn't try the camera, either the front or back facing. I didn't try that with a still picture, nor did I try it with FaceTime or anything like that. So I can't really vouch for the camera, or at least I can't really vouch fairly for it. Let's put it that way. That's something I'll have to play with a bit more next Wednesday. But as far as I know, I hear that the camera is supposed to be better on both the front and back. But again, I myself have not had the opportunity to try it to really know. Siri works beautifully. I had no problems whatsoever using Siri. That I did test, and that worked perfectly, as it should, and, you know, whatnot. I'm not the biggest fan of the new Lightning connector. Now, you can, for like $29 from the Apple website, you know, from the Apple Store website, you can order an adapter, which will go from your Lightning to a 30-pin female connector, which is kind of nice. If you have like a docking station, like an iHome dock, that would certainly be one way that you could adapt it. That way you could put it on the dock. Like I say, those go for $29, not including tax or shipping. And I'd personally really recommend that tremendously if you're going to get... it doesn't come with an adapter when you get your phone, but I would recommend getting one. They're definitely... I got one for me, just that way down the road when I do get an iPhone 5, I'll already be all set for that. I thought I might could use it with my other device, which I'm going to be reviewing here in a moment. But anyway, so that's kind of where we stand as far as that's concerned. So that's the iPhone 5 in a nutshell for you. I don't believe that I have time in this recording to review the next product I wanted to review, so I'm actually going to end this recording, and on the next recording I'll review the other product that I have recently obtained. So I'm going to go ahead and head out of here. Let's go down here and
pause recording button.
We'll go ahead and hit that and go ahead and get out of here. Like I say, keep an eye out. My next, I got to record it, obviously, but once that's done, my next review should be on its way, hopefully within, if not the half hour, I would say definitely within the hour. So, okay, I'm out of here, guys.